This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for lectures, features, and radio shows. And now, here's Coy Barefoot.
It is a true honor to welcome to this program Vivek Kundra, the Chief Technology Officer for the City of Washington, D.C., and formerly the Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Trade for the Commonwealth of Virginia. Vivek has won recently a slew of awards and recognition, including InfoWorld magazine named him to its annual list of the top 25 CTOs serving in government, nonprofit, or private industry. And he is on the cover of the most recent issue of Public CIO magazine and includes a profile. Vivek, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Corey.
Absolutely. Been looking forward to it. Where should we start? You know, the best place to start, I think, is when you went to Washington and you left the Kane administration, you took this new position in working for the city of Washington. Tell us about what you walked into, what you found when you got there, perhaps some of the challenges, the lay of the land, that kind of thing.
Sure. So a couple of things. One was what's really exciting about Washington, D.C. is that it's the only part of the country where it's all three layers of government. So it's a city, it's a state, and it's a federal government. So it's almost like playing 3D chess because as a chief technology officer, not only do I serve in the capacity in city government, but also at the state level with the National Association of State CIOs and, of course, at the federal level. So one of the biggest challenges and opportunities is definitely the structure of government. Second, I think on the government operations side, one of the biggest problems there has always been around transparency. So making sure that we had an extremely transparent government that would allow people to be able to know how government taxes, dollars were being spent, and on what programs. And then, of course, the way technology was implemented throughout government operations. One of the most interesting discoveries I made coming on board was a simple one, which was if I walked out of my place with a laptop to the local coffee shop, I actually had more computing power on my hands than the average police officer, than the average teacher, and the average healthcare provider in Washington. And we moved aggressively to address how we move technology to the field rather than in these massive, expensive, multi-year, multi-million dollar initiatives that focus on putting technology at headquarters. And on governance, the biggest problem around governance is making sure that you have the right information to make the proper decisions. And so we focus heavily on transparency. But I would say around the technology platform, one of the core issues that we faced was that consumer technology was far more advanced than the enterprise technology in government operations.
We're talking with Vivek Kundra. He is Chief Technology Officer for the City of Washington, D.C. And I should point out as well, he is also a graduate of the University of Virginia's Sorenson Institute Political Leaders Program, class of 2007, the class that was made into memorialized forever into a PBS documentary. Vivek, for folks who don't know, including me a little bit, what exactly is a chief technology officer for a city? Clearly, it's got something to do with computers.
Sure. So in Washington, the chief technology officer is actually a cabinet-level position. So I serve in the mayor's cabinet and responsible for technology across all government. So there are over 87 agencies in Washington, everything from the police department to the school system to parks and recs, libraries, and so forth. So I'm responsible for driving strategy and making sure that we are using proper technology as we move forward into the 21st century in advancing government operations.
So tell us now a little bit of this outside-of-the-box thinking for which you have been received honors and been recognized, and you know, chief technology officers around the country are talking about this Vivek Kundra in Washington and what he's doing. Tell us a little bit about some of the ideas that you brought to the table about how to approach new projects and the delivery of services. Very, very fresh and interesting ideas.
Well, so there are three main ideas that I'm driving very aggressively. One is a simple one. I asked the question, you know, we've spent over $1 billion in technology in Washington, D.C. over the last 6 or so years. What are the dividends that we've produced, and what is the status of all those investments? And I thought to myself, if I can get on my iPhone and check real time the price of any publicly traded company, why is it that in government we can't get real-time status on how we're spending taxpayer dollars? So what I did is I immediately created a stock market floor in my organization, and I began treating every technology project in Washington as a stock. And literally, each project has a CEO in terms of a management team. We look at the burn rate. We look at deliverables. And we even have a happiness index to see how happy the customers are with the performance of the project. So what that did is it held everyone accountable for how they're performing. And what I do is I break down all those projects into three categories, buy, sell, or hold. And they're broken into five main funds. And those funds are around public safety, healthcare, education, economic development, and government operations. And based on the performance of the fund, what we do is, using Adam Smith's example of the invisible hand, you know, projects and sectors that don't perform, we literally sell those stocks, get rid of the teams, and move capital to where it's most productive. And that's really helped in controlling costs and making sure that we're holding government employees accountable for performance. Second area I focused on heavily was procurement transparency. As you know, one of the biggest things government does is procure millions of dollars, whether it's in IT or any other area. And what I was finding was there wasn't as much transparency as I would have liked. So what I did is simply said, how would I solve this in a low-cost manner? So we put up a free open-source software, Wikipedia, with YouTube, and every procurement that comes out of my office actually gets videotaped. We put it on YouTube. Everyone can see the bidding process. They can see the pre-solicitation conference and the bid opening. It's completely transparent, and government is being run in the public square virtually. The third area I focused on was data transparency. We're recognized nationally as having more data feeds than any other government in the country, for that matter, in the world. We have over 215 feeds of data that we put out to the public. And these feeds include everything from police and the arrests that were made on the public safety side, to school performance, to government operations and code enforcement that's happening, to looking at economic development and the deals that are there. And what that does is that allows citizens, whether it's a graduate student sitting at George Washington University or Howard University or Georgetown, to be able to slice and dice that data and help us become better at what we do in terms of providing services to constituents. And we're literally taking information that the government has right now and saying, well, you know what, we need to democratize this information so that people could engage in public service and help us look at problems in ways that we may not have imagined.
We are honored to be speaking with Vivek Kundra. He is Chief Technology Officer for the City of Washington, D.C., and is changing the way that government approaches new projects, and its delivery of services with very outside-of-the-box thinking. I got to ask you, Vivek, about pushback, because it's a natural question, a natural thing that happens when you bring fresh thinking and new ways of doing things, especially to government. Was there a lot of pushback to some of these ideas and approaches?
Absolutely. I would say on all three of these approaches, we had a lot of pushback. And part of the challenge is, you know, showing value. How do you create value through transparency? And what happened is you had people that were naturally resistant because it was changing, you know, the power structure. It was literally taking power away from them and moving it out to the people to make sure that everyone was holding people that the taxpayers were holding government employees accountable. So there's a big pushback coming in from that area. A second area, you know, is around change itself. So people have done something, they've either used paper or they've done it for 30 years, and are very used and entrenched in those methods, so it's more work. The most dangerous is not necessarily, you know, the second part, it's the first part. And those are the forces that we had to fight. But as you know, Mayor Adrian Fenty is very committed to transparency. He's very committed to driving change, and he ran on a platform of transparency. And having a mayor like Mayor Adrian Fenty really helps in driving that change all the way up to the front line.
Vivek Kundra is Chief Technology Officer for the City of Washington. So let's look at the results. I mean, have you been pleased with implementing these new ideas and new approaches to the way government actually operates? From where you sit, what do the results look like?
So on all three areas, the stock market model, we actually killed projects. Just last month, we killed a $6.4 million project that we found was unnecessary and will be duplicative of other initiatives that were happening. We implemented a project for $475,000 that would have cost $4 million under the normal plan that we had. And we made investments in public education by using those savings and rebalancing the portfolio. Under procurement, a perfect example is what we're doing right now, which is we're in the market to buy a new evidence warehouse for the police department. And by putting it online in the wiki with YouTube, a couple of things happened. One, we had more people respond to the solicitation than we imagined. Number two, partnerships were created around the procurement that we didn't anticipate. And number three, because of the competitive forces, we're getting better rates as a result of this online bidding process. And on the data feeds, what we found is very, very interesting information. We've got graduate students and people in other parts of the country that are slicing and dicing information and are finding patterns that we hadn't imagined just around public safety. We were getting feedback from citizens on what was going on in neighborhoods and blocks. So across all those three areas, what we found is if you democratize information and you encourage engagement, you get better results.
It's absolutely amazing. I have to tell you, the stock market model that you bring to your new projects, I find so fascinating, and that you've actually created a sort of a mock trading floor that can track this investment of public money in real time. And it truly is amazing. I mean, I guess the obvious question is why we don't have this in a few streets away from you in the national government. It would make a lot of sense if you could actually see, are we spending the public dollars in a way that's actually bringing results and benefit?
I'll give you a perfect example on what sparked this idea and really helped me drive the point home in terms of the government here as far as adopting this change. 3 years ago, before I got here, at D.C. public schools had spent $25 million on implementing a payroll system. A year and a half later, that $25 million investment literally went down the toilet because they never went live. And the stock market model, what it will allow us to do is say, you know what, you don't have to wait till you hit $25 million. You should have been able to see the problem through regression equations and forecasting that maybe at, $10,000, $100,000, $200,000, even $1 million into the program that was headed the wrong way. And my view is by having this and getting real-time information rather than quarterly or annually, we would save so much money in taxpayer dollars and make the appropriate investments where they're mostly needed. And for D.C. government, it's around public education, and that's where we're moving some of the capital.
Vivek Kundra is Chief Technology Officer for the City of Washington, D.C., and formerly an Assistant Secretary of Commerce and Trade for the Commonwealth of Virginia. Vivek, with the time that we have left, I wanted to ask you really quick, your previous work in commerce and trade for the Commonwealth of Virginia and working in the Kaine administration, I remember a conversation you and I had once over dinner that I thought was so fascinating when you were talking about what is really happening in China and in India and how most Americans just, they think they know, but they really don't have a firm grasp on the magnitude and the scope of the changes that are taking place overseas. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So if you look at the Commonwealth of Virginia and even Washington, and we look at the population in these two areas, and compare it or scale it nationally, the United States has a population of 300 million. Washington, D.C. around 600,000 plus, but it spikes up to about 3 million plus during the day. And the Commonwealth has a population of about 6.5 million. India alone has a population of 1.1 billion. China has a population of 1.3 billion people. If you look at just the middle class, in India it's 300 million people. In China it's 400 million people. You're talking about 700 million people who are in the middle class tier competing against 300 million people, the total population of the United States. What we're not grasping is the focus around competition and how fierce it is in those parts of the world to what we're doing here. When we talk about education, whether it's primary, secondary education, research and development, one of the big macro changes that's happening is you're noticing, you know, not only some of the jobs, but the research and development labs that are moving. And we're looking at some of these policies that we talk about, you know, at a macro level, as far as engineers being able to come into the United States. Boeing, GE, all these companies are building these massive research and development centers. At the same time, these economies are exploding in terms of growth. So when I was with Governor Kane in Virginia, we put together a trade mission to India. And the natural reaction for most states is to say, you know what, if we're engaged in commerce at a global level, it's only one way. We're losing jobs. But what we proved was if you're able to engage in the global market, you could bring money into your respective states. In the Commonwealth of Virginia, we brought in $99 million foreign direct investment into the Commonwealth of Virginia from India rather than losing jobs to India or China. And I think looking at the larger pie in terms of the global market, it behooves us to think through, you know, what do our education systems look like in the coming decades? At the same time, how do we ensure that we have smart policies in place to be able to leverage globalization as the 21st century dawns on us?
Vivek, what do you think it is our public schools should be doing now that they're not doing? And I'm sure you have a long list, but if you have, like, you know, a top two or three that you'd like to see changes and you'd like to see happen, perhaps new changes over the next 10, 15 years?
So I would say it would be STEM, and that's science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. We're not focusing enough on those areas. And if you look at the innovations that are moving forward, as markets have changed from the agricultural revolution to the industrial and now to the information revolution, the biggest asset is going to be intellectual capital. And the global market, the currency in the global market is going to be intellectual capital. And we need to ensure that we're producing more scientists, engineers, mathematicians, and technologists.
And that means, boy, and that's going to be a tall order. Number one, just getting the teachers.
Absolutely. And, you know, focusing in the classroom and ensuring that we're hiring the best possible teachers. And at the same time, valuing that by showing that the public education system has to make the proper investment to attract the best and brightest teachers possible.
Vivek Kundra is Chief Technology Officer for the City of Washington, D.C., and formerly an Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Trade in the Kane administration. Vivek, thank you so much, my friend. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show is on the air Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 in the afternoon. Join in on the show by calling 434-977-1070 or feel free to leave a comment on the show at SevillePodcast.com. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.